The Gift of Conflict, Chapter 1, Splendid Regret. The 75-degree evening air felt good to Marcus, ideal running weather for him. Walkers, joggers, and cyclists, alone and in groups, crowded the two-lane trail that threaded uninterrupted for 6.5 miles between East 71st, then northward to Southwest Boulevard through the tree-lined greenbelt on the eastern bank of the Arkansas River. Marcus Wynn stopped at the park's disc golf course and stretched, pressed his earbuds in tightly, tapped on a playlist of running music, and jogged north at a warm-up pace. Marcus's vision narrowed as he picked up speed. Soon he was unaware of anything except what was directly in his path. "On your left," he shouted, a warning to walkers and joggers as he overtook them. Dogs tugged on leashes and turned to look at him as he approached. Some tried to get his attention or to steal a whiff of his scent as he passed. Desiree Chambers' text message that he received a week ago, while on vacation with his newfound love, Teresa, played on an endless loop in Marcus's head. "Bet you didn't expect to hear from me. Coming to Tulsa soon. Maybe October 1. Need to see you. Important." What also endlessly replayed in Marcus's mind was that single, unexpected, wild and tumultuous, splendidly lascivious night in Williston, North Dakota, back in June. The night he let himself forget for a few hours that he was trying to make sense of his relationship with Anna Marie Flores, the girl back home he thought he wanted to marry. That splendid night he allowed himself to be seduced by a beauty queen he met in a local bar while on a week-long business trip with Jim Bob Danner. They were touring drilling sites in Montana, sun up to sundown. Jim Bob, a foul-mouthed, arrogant Johnstone oil and gas drilling engineer, who Marcus thought he should get to know for some reason that he wasn't quite sure of. Jim Bob, who turned out to be, by the end of the week, more likable than Marcus expected. Once they had a man-to-man clearing of the air on day one of that trip. The memory of Desiree's sensuous embrace stole its way into Marcus's mind as he matched his pace to the beats of the ballad he remembered playing to their dance on the darkened dance floor. The pounding bass of the workout tunes blasting through his earbuds were muted by fiddle's longing strains he remembered from the live band. His running paced the rhythm of 3 paces to the beat, 12 paces to the measure that played in his head as he relived the feel of him and Desiree holding each other closer until he totally enfolded her in his arms. Until Glenn, her stalker, intruded and robbed Marcus of the pleasure of holding Desiree until the last lingering note of the last song in the set. Until Glenn threw a wild punch that missed Marcus and landed on Desiree instead. Until Jim Bob torpedoed Glenn to the dance floor, eliminating his threat while Marcus sheltered and comforted Desiree. Until Jim Bob humiliated the overmatched Glenn, emptying his pockets of money for damages and extracting a public apology for his behavior before expelling him and exiling him from the bar. Jim Bob's bar. On your left," Marcus warned the slower-moving traffic louder than the earbuds permitted him to hear. Startled walkers jerked around to see who it was. One shouted at him as he went by, but Marcus couldn't make out what he said. 31st Street, his usual turnaround place, came and went. The months of running and weight training had paid dividends. His college form was back. The days of running cross-country seemed so long ago, but today he felt like he could run forever. "I wonder if I could run a marathon. The Oklahoma City Memorial Marathon in April might be a goal. The Route 66 Marathon in Tulsa is too soon. Maybe next year." He knew he would have to tackle the Tulsa Hills if he took on the marathon. That would require a change in training venue and regimen. 21st Street, already? Start back here. Don't want to run in the dark. Why, Marcus? Why are you letting your mind run wild over Desiree's message? She just disappeared from your hotel room Friday morning before you woke up. No goodbye, No thanks for a wonderful evening. No see you around. No phone number. No nothing. Just gone. Then out of the blue, this cryptic text. What could be so important, Desiree, that you need to come to Tulsa to see me? Unless you're... No way, Marcus, no way. You don't know anything for sure, so knock it off. On the other hand, you are sure about Teresa. You are sure you love her unequivocally. You are sure that when you gave yourself to her in July, after Anna Marie dumped you, that you were willing to make a forever commitment. But is that enough for her? What if Desiree is? Snap out of it, Marcus. You are sure about Teresa, because Anna broke up with you before you had any chance to develop any type of intimate relationship. You are positive that Teresa is not a rebound. You are positive beyond a doubt that this commitment with Teresa is the real thing for both of you, right? Hell yeah, no doubt. Then why, Marcus? Why are you scared shitless to tell Teresa about you and Desiree in June? If you say you live empowered, and that you always look for ways to make things better, how the hell are you going to make this thing better? Stop it. Stop it, Marcus. Stop thinking and run. Run your ass off. Run your sorry, horny ass off. Push into the pain. You deserve it. Marcus ducked his head and ran, just ran, forcing himself to do anything to keep from thinking about Desiree and Teresa and what he feared. He just ran. He ran hard. He ran into the pain, through the pain, and out the other side of the pain. It worked for a while, back to where he began. But that wasn't enough. His memories hounded him. That Friday evening with Teresa in late July seeped in, and his mind smiled. That heavenly evening of consummation with Teresa, as they had planned it, as he had envisioned it, in all its intimacy, tenderness, and sweetness. The feeling of being with her for the first time, freely, intentionally, without reservation, in full assurance of mutual commitment, the way it's supposed to be. Every time with Teresa was like that first time, and every day he lived in excited anticipation of the next time. Under the I-44 overpass, toward East 61st Street, where to his right he could see the silhouette of Turkey Mountain on the west bank of the river backlit against the autumn sunset. Better head back. Must have lost track of time. What was supposed to have been a routine 4-mile run after work had morphed into an 8-mile pain fest. Marcus pumped his fisted arms vigorously, sprinting the last 200 yards. A spontaneous grunt erupted from deep inside his aching gut. His searing lungs heaved between sucking in fresh air and expelling gushes of carbon dioxide waste. He slowed to a walk, hands on his hips, alternately gasping and sucking air. Stinging sweat dripping from his scalp streaming into his eyes. What passersby mistook for athletic determination, Marcus regarded as self-flagellation. Suffer, asshole, suffer. You deserve it if what you fear is true. You might have totally screwed up your life and maybe several others in one reckless act of self-gratification. In a moment of weakness, in a moment of not caring anymore for anyone, but yourself. His spontaneous fling with Desiree, a month before realizing he was in love with Teresa, had not been anything remotely like the night he and Teresa consummated their love. But it was, for that time, the most sensuous and fulfilling night of his life. Every memory of that night between the time the door of his hotel room closed behind her until he woke the next morning to find her gone was unforgettable. How Desiree looked deep into his eyes and without saying a word slipped his unbuttoned shirt off his shoulders, wrapped her arms around his back and pulled him into an embrace. Unforgettable. How he completed the embrace, one arm around her shoulders, the other around her waist, where he let his fingers find the small of her back so that she melted in his arms. Unforgettable. How their faces lingered close without touching, only feeling each other's breathing become synchronized in and out until they fell into a long, slow, probing kiss. Unforgettable. How they found themselves lying together skin to skin without realizing they had completely disrobed. Unforgettable. How they had become intertwined, moving with each other in a slow rhythm in no hurry to finish what was started. Unforgettable. How after each climax together, collapsing exhausted until the fire rekindled. Unforgettable. And how, when fully spent, they fell into a restful sleep, her head on his shoulder. Unforgettable. How the lingering scent of her, the taste of her, the shape of her face, the feel of her mouth on his, the trace of her body, the way his hands felt on her hips as she moved on him, her breath on his face, her kisses under his chin, down his neck, and on his smooth chest, all unforgettable. And now, he hated himself for remembering it. Like Marcus, each of us faces conflicts of all kinds and intensities in our life. We're always trying to get what we want or to hang on to what we have. If we open to these conflicts, there are any number of possible gifts that come bundled in the conflict situation. What will Marcus find as he maneuvers through the turmoil? Use the discussion questions at the end of the book to reflect on your own learning, or use them as discussion starters with friends and colleagues at work who are also reading along. Either way, look for the gift of conflict and be open to the possibilities that come in times of stress and turmoil.